Yeah, you can see it. Oh, it's if you're watching, you know, us on the video feed. It's busted pencils minus a finger. Saturday after the 4th, fellas, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards. You think I held that one a little too long?
I thought you were coming up with a new way to flip us off.
Yeah, man, it was great.
Well, I was just, you know, I was looking at this and I was just like, should I show everybody how not to, or what happens when you hold fireworks the wrong way?
No, man, no fun. That's not a funny joke, because there was a lot of people who went into the weekend, not realizing that it was their last days with five fingers on both hands.
Well, come on, man. Now, here's, behind the scenes, you can.
Oh, it was fake.
You feel better, but this is actually on Thursday mornings I jump on with John and Gordy to kind of talk about what's going on in Busted Pencils. We were talking about, they loved the sawmill story from Antigo and what we talked about, but it gave me another opportunity, which is why I'm showing my finger here, to talk about the danger. It was funny because I have an Uncle Julius, Hungarian freedom fighter. He's 80 some years old, but he used to walk around like this, and then he would pull it out and go, don't play with power saws, Timmy. he actually did cut off his finger cutting wood. Loving him a lot, Uncle Joel, I know you're out there listening, and take that stubby finger out of your nose. We all know you're not digging, man. I don't know. Just feeling this way on a Saturday after, big 4th of July, still the holiday weekend, lots going on, actually beautiful fireworks. I got to say, my new area here in Pennsylvania, Grove City, Pennsylvania, nice fireworks display for the local community. So anybody else, I know Johnny, you were talking about that. In fact, we're going to hit a little bit of a rewind this weekend, or review, looking at those things. But you were talking about how awesome the fireworks are up where you're at in Washington there out in the lake. But I got to feel that, that kind of small town Pennsylvania local kind of, semi-rural, but not. And just a day of, lots of people just walking around, a little farmer's market, and an evening fireworks display where, people bring their camping chairs, some blankets, and a lot of ooh and a lot of ah. And then everybody walked home or drove home and, went to bed. And it was a great 4th. I just, figured I'd just share how that went with me. And I know Jacob and Johnny, I'm sure you guys had a much better time than me. But, I was nice and subdued. Jacob, how about you, my friend? How many fireworks did you shoot out of a bottle?
Tim, I don't want to get into the specifics because the statute of limitations on these fireworks things is not passed yet, but needless to say, we had a good time. We all went up to Milwaukee to my grandpa Jim's house. You may recall he wrote in a great letter for the Friday show.
One best listener out there.
I'll tell him that. I'll get him the right t-shirt too. Okay. So we all had a great time. A lot of perfectly legal fireworks, of course. I think that's important to say. All the fireworks were terrible. but good times all around. Johnny, how was your 4th of July?
Man, it was great. It's always great to celebrate the country's birthday. But guys, my favorite part about it was, early in the day, listen to our broadcast of things, because it's always fun to do that and start my Fridays like any other Friday where I listen to Producer's Choice. But it was a special one because, fellas, did you see that there was a write-up about the episode? Our very own favorite writer here at Civic Media, Terry Barr, right? Awesome write-up. So I got to read that, share that with family, and hang out. It was a great birthday. Like I said before, hey, we got a lot of work to do, America. That's you listeners out there. But that doesn't mean we can't take a day celebrate the old gal's birthday and have a blast, right? So here we are back at it now on Saturday. So listeners, we're glad you're tuned into the Busted Pencils broadcast or podcast downloaders if you're listening to it later. We appreciate you too. But it's Saturday, and I'm not hungover at all. Not at all.
That's good to know. I'm not sure. I guess you can say that on the air, but, you know,
there's nothing wrong with that. I'm over 21.
I think, I think you can say that you're not hungover, right? You can.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing wrong with that. Right. Implications that you can't get somebody legally involved for implying something. That's ridiculous.
I didn't hold
plus,
up.
This isn't that. Probate. Prohibition era. Come on, we covered that in the trivia.
I was going to say we covered that in the trivia. Prohibition.
We have long since moved past the 18th Amendment, the Volstead Act, and
I got to tell you, Johnny, though, that connecting, you know, experiences being in a bar, the Volstead, looking at the number, that was a clutch move of how
didn't win me the game. Didn't win me the game, but. Kept me in it. It kept me in it.
Yeah, it was just, you know, the idea, too, that we sometimes with trivia, the way you kind of remember those things, you're like, wait a minute, I was at a place, it was named this, it had this symbol. Holy crap, if I put those together, I've got the answer to Jacob's trivia question. Jacob, were you impressed the way he pulled that out?
I was incredibly impressed by the way Johnny pulled that out, because you know, it's one thing to remember, oh, yeah, eighth grade, Mrs. Simmons, she said it was the 18th Amendment. He took a much more circuitous route to the answer, but I think that only added to the magic of that moment where he pulled it out like Michael Jordan with a jumper right there at the end of the game.
Nice. Except Mike, or again, Mike pulled out those jumpers to win. Tim, great victory in the trivia. And the big win goes to Terry.
Yeah.
And Jacob, for hosting the show, it's always a special Friday when Jacob runs the boards and steers the ship. So that's really great. But then the write-up from Terry Barr was extra special. So that's the big winner in Civic Media's Terry Barr. We appreciate you. Thanks for that write-up. And Jacob, thanks for hosting what I think right now is the best segment of the week.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, dwell a little bit on this or celebrate a little bit more on this. But, you know, listener out there, you know, download the last few Friday podcast episodes to listen to our, you know, producer Jacob, chairman of the board. You know, he steers the show and interviews Johnny and me on our own show. Putting together probably some of the most creative, you know, humor kind of ways of putting just great stuff together. And Jacob, I keep saying, I'm like, that segment, man, dude, if somebody, you know, if you get a knock on the door and somebody's like, you need to drop those two, we need your producing talents, you know, with like Jon Stewart or something like that, man. You should take it.
Exactly. Guys, come on. I'm nobody without you guys. I'm Ringo, and you're Paul, and you're John, whichever one you guys decide on your own who's who. But yeah, I enjoy doing the show. It's a lot of fun, and it's only been like six of them so far, I think. So I haven't even started phoning it in yet. So we're kind of in the golden era of the Producer's Choice show. Let's just enjoy it. Why worry about where I'm going next? No one's poaching me, and those negotiations are ongoing, so it doesn't matter. It's fine.
That's good, because you know, I'd have to talk to your manager if something like that kind of happened. You know, you driving around with a big time manager, Johnny, and I still just, you know, sitting out here slumming, you know, managing our own pathway and going through all these things. You know what though? Hey, back to it. Saturday, Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk. There has been though a lot going on this week. And I said, you know, first thing, you know, a little recap, you know, every Thursday morning I jump on with John and Gordy on the Madison station for their morning show, kind of give a little Busted Pencils update. And as I said, You know, John really brought up the fact that he really appreciated Jacob bringing the story to you and me, Johnny, and then us kind of highlighting what was going on in Antigo, which was this, you know, partnership between a school, a sawmill school, University of Wisconsin system, a grant that put together this high tech, you know, another form of a higher education pathway for people to learn a really, you know, important skill set. And again, check out that article, because we said, and when you come across any of those out there, we want to continue to feature more of those. That's what I was telling John and Gordy, is just like, you know, we've been really kind of putting in an effort to say, you know what, higher education, there are all kinds of forms of, quote, higher education. And what I appreciated most, and I will say this most about this story, is that what it can give to the local communities where they are running these types of programs is that the people who matter the most, the people who are the residents, the future students who are living there, they don't have to leave to make it. They can stay right in their hometown, contribute to that economy, build those local rural communities and keeping them strong, because man, that's what we need to do. Every local community matters. And so when we see this type of effort, we're going to highlight it. But that was my, you know, kind of highlight there as we're kind of coming up on the end. Johnny, I don't know if you had a couple more thoughts on that Antigo school.
Oh man, I love it, and I agree with you. In fact, you know, the texts came pouring in after we aired, and you know, a lot of friends in the trades had said, "Hey, I know of this here program or this other thing." So, listener, if you liked that like as much as we did, stand by. We're gonna have some guests on, not today, but coming up in future podcasts where we talk more about it. It was a great conversation, and I agree with John and Gordy. Organically grown right out of, you know, right out of Wisconsin. Right into Civic Media, onto Busted Pencils, and back out to you listeners. That's how we like to do it here at Busted Pencils. So let's get back at it when we come back.
Yeah, keeping it a lot more local, doing that type of work. What was, you know, again, we're, you know, coming up on this first break and, you know, loving life, celebrating, you know, the 4th of July, because it's a 4th of July weekend.
That's right.
Keep that going, you know, again, day, you know, it's a Saturday. Maybe, you know, some people you're moving a little bit slow, or, you know, 3 o'clock, if you're listening live in the Civic Media listening area, maybe you're probably, you know, juicing back up already saying, "Hey man, part two of this 4th of July weekend." Well, here's the deal though. The fact that you are listening to us on Busted Pencils on your Saturday vacation, having a good time wherever you are out there, Wisconsin, and now Jacob, we can say across Michigan and Minnesota now.
Woo!
As Civic Media,
nice.
Yeah, Civic Media making some big expansions out there, man. Gotta love that. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Hey, we'll be right back. Busted Pencil, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, hanging on a Saturday, everybody in the Civic Media listening area listening to this now. And yes, everybody who's downloading, whenever you download, thank you. We appreciate your support. Just remind you too, if you are making that listen, hey, and you're downloading, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are, drop us a note, leave us a review, you know, let us know what you're thinking. Let us know, you know, some ideas of things you'd like to hear from that. And anybody too, make sure that you always have you know, a direct line to us. In fact, Jacob, I'll even throw this out there right now as it's scrolling past me. 608-557-8577. 608-557-8577. That's direct to Civic Media. You know, tell them, you know, say, hey, you know what? We like Tim, Johnny, and Jacob, but make Johnny wear a shirt, man. It's
come on here.
Now, okay, so here we are. It is Saturday, and, you know, a major event other than the 4th of July, President Donald J. Trump got his wish, the big, beautiful bill passed, and he looks like, you know, he's pretty happy. His goal was to have this pass before the 4th. And, you know, here we are on Saturday now, and I know people are going, and it passed. All of the so-called, you know, hardcore holdouts somehow in the moments figured out a way that they could say yes to the big, beautiful bill. And I got to tell you, if you're a public education person, there's a lot in the big, beautiful bill that's big and bad. And my guess is that a lot of future shows, we're going to be talking about the effects, the consequences, the pain that this big, bad, beautiful bill is about to dole out, whether it's a national voucher scholarship. And to me, you know, and this reminds me, we got to get him back on the show from Student Loan Justice. The attack on the student loan program is really frightening and to me is going to create a lot of real pain for people in the future on accessing higher education from the student loan and people right now in repayment, in, you know, not even great repayment plans that Biden put forward, right? Did nothing to brag about. We talked about this. But even doing away with the measly kind of sense of telling people with student loans, hey, here's a little bit of an easier path for you. Go for it. No, the big, bad, beautiful bill said, student loan people, you need to start paying up quickly. And it just makes me think about, you know, what is the purpose? And I was wondering about this, Johnny, to kind of put forward. Is the purpose to actually send millions of Americans into some form of a default debt situation? Like, I'm trying to understand the motivation to make it more likely that actually people will default and not pay their loans back. And the reality that at least under the Biden kind of crappy save SAVE plan, people were going to potentially pay back a little bit of money. I don't know. Is it really the cruelty that is the message? And that's why they're doing it. Johnny, thoughts?
I mean, Tim, there's not much to think about here. We digest the 900 pages of this big bill and things. you know, it seems pretty disastrous all the way through. I mean, this is, again, I mean, none of it should be surprising. It's pretty devastating, but it's not off mark from anything that, you know, we anticipated being part of this. And it's, you know, it's a sad day that, you know, it went through. And that it's going into action. I mean, from the energy, you know, what it does to clean energy, from how it robs, you know, Medicaid. It takes from Medicaid in order to do, you know, more money for deportations and a border wall, you know, all the way back to, you know, the who's benefiting the most from this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tax cuts are the priority, but tax cuts for who?
Exactly.
I mean, this is an advanced move to really, really just crush the middle and, you know, working class and hopefully, I mean, it does, people are aware of it. We keep talking about it. We get into different sections of it. It's again, 900 pages of this. but you know, as we get good summaries and see especially, I mean, it continues to you know, devastate what we know as important programs for our public school system. But I mean, that's par for the course. That seems to always be happening. Not saying that's okay, but this is pretty advanced in terms of an aggressive move to really, I don't know any way to say, to like rob from the poor to fill the lines of the pockets of the rich.
Yeah, and what we're hearing, you know, going into the passing is that how unpopular this bill is, even with, you know, Republican voters necessarily not getting behind the message, because the clarity of, Johnny, as you said, the feed of where the most, quote, is it really relief when a billionaire gets a tax cut? Was life so bad being a billionaire that you needed a tax cut? Man, tell me how that makes sense. Billions, and you're like, man, thank God that oppressive taxes, they're gone. Well, we're not oppressive, and we'll be right back. That's, music is appropriate. That's what I felt like in my head when the big, bad, beautiful bill decided that it was going to survive and actually get passed. All of the so-called Republican hardliners, holdouts, who absolutely were not going to ever vote for this bill. In fact, Wisconsin's own, you know, we're talking about the House now, who just passed it, but even in the Senate, Wisconsin's own Ron Johnson, Jacob, you know, he could not get behind this bill. It was, you know, him being such a fiscal conservative.
Yeah.
He had real problems. And my question is that what got change so Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, Senator Johnson, what made you change your mind? I mean, you know, what was it? What was promised? What was given? You know, maybe even potentially, like, did you get like $1 billion in pork for the state of Wisconsin? And therefore you said, okay, now I'm going to change my mind. Because actually, you know, and I really am disappointed because
Lisa Murkowski.
Thank you, Jacob. Lisa Murkowski in Alaska was a hardcore holdout, but in the end changed her vote. And really what she said was, is, you know what, the guys out there shooting whales, I got them more money, so I had to vote yes. And like, really? Like, you got whaling money? Like, you know, it's almost the things going, I know that industry is out there and it's still going on, but, you know, it's just like, you think it like you needed to bring home money to whalers. And in fact, that was the promise that you got, Lisa Murkowski, that turned you away from voting no on a bill that was going to take away money from public schools in rural Alaska. And in rural Alaska, the cuts to Medicaid, I was listening to a doctor who has spent a lot of time in small rural hospitals and healthcare. This is going to be devastating in those areas. These small hospitals, these small clinics are not going to be able to operate. And so I don't understand how that didn't outweigh a couple bucks for some whalers. Like,
yeah,
I'm Jacob. Thanks for reminding me. I'm kind of on a downer on that one, guys. So I need a little help here, fellas. Well, John, Jacob.
Tim, if I could say, I think it's a little hypocritical that you enjoy the light that these lanterns give you, but you're unhappy about the wailing by which it's provided. And that's unfortunate. But on a serious note, Tim and Johnny, and I'm sure, Johnny, you feel the same way, it is very disheartening to see the lack of principles that our senators and our congresspeople have. They do not seem to have any core foundational views or beliefs that they're not willing to set aside to stay on the right side of Donald Trump. And that is disappointing because the whole system really doesn't work if Congress is not willing in any way to check the president, even when it's a member of your own party. When Joe Biden was president, Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, there were people on the Democratic side who didn't just do whatever Joe Biden said. And that's how it's usually supposed to work. Johnny, I don't know what your thoughts are on this.
Well, yeah, you know, it's, you know, I don't have a lot to say because there's not a lot of good to talk about. And, you know, I like to be pretty optimistic about things, except Jacob, that's how democracy works, right? You're highlighting an important aspect of this is like, we have to have systems of checks and balances that transcend our party lines. Like solidarity is important, but more important than solidarity is getting to that reaching a common good. And there just isn't a common good in this bill. I'm looking for, you know, even spins that say, hey, this does both good and bad things to education. I can't find the good stuff. Again, there's 900 pages. Maybe I'm missing something. There is maybe a sliver here, 529 plans. Like, that's good for banks.
Yeah.
They get more money from people that they can invest until, like, you know, when it gets used for college. So it's like, hey, there's just a lot of college, you know, loan and repayment reform. There's just more, and then more dismantling the Department of Education. And to me, the huge cuts to Medicaid and SNAP and, you know, which is food assistance programs and nutrition. I mean, that stuff is going to be even more devastating to schools than the stuff about education in the bill. I mean, it's like when you hurt communities, you hurt schools. And when you hurt schools, you hurt communities. The two things go hand in hand. Man, and this bill really hurts most communities. And I can't even think of a community it's not going to harm.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe individual houses in the proverbial top of the hill within communities, but still the rest of their community is harmed by this. And so, I mean, this is an aggressive move to, like I said, line the pockets of the ultra elite. And I know I sound like one of those, you know, super liberals here. I mean, generally I'm not. I'm usually pretty optimistic and open to the dialogue. But this is a pretty fast moving, you know, action from an administration. You know what? It's July. Boom. Yeah. Here we are. We're not even going to probably, this is me as grim as I get. Midterm elections aren't even going to matter. Like, they're going to matter. They're always important, but it's not like we can wait to midterm elections, you know, to fix this. It's going to be, you know, in action and put to work faster than voting can do anything about it. So I appreciate Jacob bringing up that democratic process that regardless of who's the boss, you know, even if it is Tony Danza, you know, you gotta hold the systems of checks and balances in place and speak on the behalf of your constituents, you know, and advocate on the behalf of your constituents. And that's how elected democracies work. And, you know, this will be my last little ounce of, like, you know, the opposite of optimism. You know, we're not doing that right now. And how much are you going to stand by and watch? I mean, we could keep saying the house is on fire. The house is on fire. Pretty soon the house is burnt to the ground and there's no house on fire. And so, like, democracy is on fire, folks. Like, it's getting burnt to the ground. And we might not be able to put the fire out before midterm elections.
Okay. Is there, though, then on this, is there hope? And I know it's too far away in the midterm elections, but the fact that this really is going to hit Trump's base. Jacob, you said it during the break. Ken in Kentucky, you know, out there going, you know, he's a guy I wanted to have a beer with. And, oh, yeah, it's just like, you know, rural healthcare, the access. So, you know, we talked about the rural kind of the rural poor who and even some, you know, hardcore, you know, blue collar people that had been, you know, thinking that this was going to make a difference. Well, it is going to make a difference, as you just said, Johnny. I mean, access to healthcare, access is going to be a problem. But then, you know, funding for Medicaid that goes with this, as you said, food SNAP, whether food assistance programs, all of those programs. I mean, I wonder if Trump's base will feel this one and potentially turn and go, whoa, wait a minute. And I throw the, you know, a little bit of a Tim bomb at you guys here, but one of the stories this week that kind of dropped out, but you know, the bromance, the bickering started again midweek there with Elon Musk threatening again the new political party, the America First Party or something like that. And based on the fact that every Republican he said that voted in favor of this bill, he is now going to put all of his money to primarying those people, those Republicans, and also beginning to try to start a new political party. I know it's Elon doing it, but does that give you any hope, Johnny?
No, I mean, it's not. It's replacing dumb with dumber. You know, I don't.
But maybe the civil war between them will weaken them both, Johnny.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's more of the democratic process, right? Like exercising your civic duty and your right to participate in the decision making process. I think that's a great thing. It doesn't give me much hope, other than, like Jacob said, maybe, you know, if other parties. Like, can we move beyond the two-party system? That certainly would make a huge difference in this kind of thing. But, you know, Tim, I'll kind of wrap it up. And to me, all this is do as much damage as possible and line the pockets as fast as you can. And then maybe midterm elections do change things. Or maybe people, these voters who thought it was a good thing. By the time it's reversed and changed, money at an exorbitant rate has been robbed from the people who need it the most and lined into the pockets of the people who want it even more and have access and power to gain that. So it's, you know, it's a business move to do art, to usurp democracy to make money. You know, it's basically like, because Tim, even if people don't vote for me again, but I made a lot of money, I can go around and say it was a huge success. And meanwhile, it does so much damage in far as like it swings so far one way that even then it ties up energy and resources to swinging it back to like I said, a common good. I mean, this is doing like reversible damages.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, that's kind of a form of like how some people do business. It's like, hey, let's jack the prices up really high. Let's threaten all these things. Let's make deportations a massive priority. Let's destabilize communities. Let's hurt the poor. Let's wreck the medical system. Let's pillage what's left of a public education system. And all along the way, as long as we're making money, that's great, because even if it gets undone, it's going to cost people to rebuild it. It's a manufactured disaster. Lines of the of those in power, like pockets of those in power, are being lined with copious amounts of, you know, tax cuts and dollars and things. And, you know, America is going to be hurt for probably well over a decade, not just from this bill, but from, you know, at least the last 6 to 8 months of things.
Yeah, it has been that. And I see Jacob, too, there nodding away. Oh, man, Johnny, I thought I was giving you an opportunity to jump on a little bit.
Well, there's always hope. Yeah, okay. I mean, there's always hope, because there's always resistance. I mean, we're not going to drop dead from this, but a lot of people are.
But a lot of people are,
And here's the thing is when you see it, it's a little more real, right, Tim? Yeah. And so, sadly, communities are going to see it even more. So I'm with you. It is going to change the tide of things, but that doesn't undo that it's been done, and it's going to line a lot of pockets in the process, and people are going to be harmed along the way.
Yeah, they are. Well, you know, and talk about democracy and, you know, inaction. I would say inaction. Put those words together, because the Democrats mounted resistance. Hakeem Jeffries speaking for 8 hours straight. That's all they could do, was have somebody stall the vote by talking for a long time. Democrats, you're so awesome. Hey, but we are Busted Pencils, Jacob, Johnny, Tim. One more segment, we'll be right back. Oh, yeah, there it is. And thank goodness it couldn't have come quicker. On the break, Johnny was going to break into beatboxing. Yeah, Johnny Lupinacci. Yeah, Jacob, chairman of the board. Dr. Timmy, Dr. Tim Slecker. Busted Pencils on a Saturday for Civic Media. Listeners out there right now, day after the 4th. Yeah, no, I did not lose any fingers for anybody's out there right now on Twitter, the X, going, oh, my God, Dr. Tim Slecker lost a finger on the 4th. I saw it. I'm telling you, it was a joke. Look, it was like that. It's just making sure everybody's out there. Hey, okay, Johnny, give you maybe one opportunity to potentially maybe have a little bit of hope as you go on, you know, for the rest of your Saturday vacation, 4th of July vacation. Wisconsin passed the budget, and Governor Evers signed it after a lot of bickering back and forth. There's some more money in Wisconsin going to public education in this bill. And some people are saying it's a win. Johnny, thoughts?
Well, Tim, I mean, you know what happens when you, like, I'm trying to be more optimistic, listeners, I promise, but just like in the big bill discussion we got into, it's like when the pendulum gets swung really far the other way, the work to get it back, we start accepting as, yes, it's progress, yes, and we start to call it good, and we're not even to where it should be. And this is one of those cases where I'm going to have to say, by and large, it's still underfunding. It's still leaving communities, schools, children, our, you know, bedrock of democracy across the state, underfunded. But it is, you know, somewhat of a, like, hey, it's progress in some areas, because, you know, we've learned that if we beg for crumbs and we get a few, that's good, and that's been normalized. You know, I don't know, Tim. I mean, I think it still leaves schools slight-handed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, there's an increase for sure. But actually, this is where, though, we turn to our friends at the Wisconsin Public Education Network for a real kind of analysis. And, you know, take a look, go to wisconsinnetwork.org in their news. And if you want to see, you know, again, a public education breakdown of what this budget really means. Well, so sure, there are there's some additions in there, but, you know, 66% of school districts will see a cut to their budgets. And again, public school students, this is directly from their news article, quote, the budget sends public school students back to school this fall and next fall with zero in new state general aid. This is perhaps unprecedented. And, oh man, is it really? No. It's not that time. I was thinking it might have been that time. You guys are laughing.
You guys are falling apart in this last.
No, I'm just looking at this.
It's a long 4th of July weekend.
Thought that you said to knock it, but you know, yeah, what are we now considering a win now is because there's a little bit of extra aid in there. And I guess you could take on the position of, well, it could have been worse. And Governor Evers really leaned in and got everything he could get out of, you know, this Republican held legislature that is, know, hell-bent on trying to stay back in the Walker days of making sure that, you know, we're going to defund public education. That's the Walker way. And the current Republican-led leader legislature was really going to hold tight. And so the win here is that Governor Evers did get some money for public education, and particularly in the special education reimbursement area. There were some gains there. And we know, talking to our friends at Wisconsin Public Education Network, that is one of the areas that has really been a problem, is funding for special education. So on that, you know, hey, we'll take it, because we want to make sure that we can get that again. Special education funding for our most vulnerable in our public schools. So seeing that increase, you know, appreciate it. So Governor Evers, you know, thanks for doing what you could, can and could, given the reality of, Johnny, as you say, democracy, right? I mean, this is what democracy means. So sometimes there's a compromise, but there's never a compromise now, because now is your moment of zen. History can untie our minds, our bodies, our disposition to move, to engage life, rather than contemplating it as an outsider.
Hey, thank you for listening to today's big, beautiful Busted Pencils broadcast. And if you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, well, you just go on over to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get at us at civicmedia.com or find us on our website, bustedpencils.com. And you can always find great Busted Pencils content like today's broadcast, but on Mondays for homeroom, Wednesdays for class and session, and on Fridays for producer Jacob's Choice. And of course, Pencil Busters, you can always tune back in next Saturday and listen to the Busted Pencils weekend broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep Busted Pencils.